setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. I'm coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville, and you have joined a conversation. It's a conversation about you, what you were created to do, and we're going to look at that through the contribution you will make through your work. And so that's the who you are, what you were created to do, where you can do it, how to get there. This is the answer, the process to answer the age-old question, what should I do with my life? And the answer is, from a high level, what you were born to do. Most of the world looks at work as this thing I must do to live. I believe that work is something that we live to do, not as a workaholic and as putting all of our value into work. No. Well, if I change the word work out to contribution, what if I took work completely off the table and I go, you were created to contribute? I think everybody goes, hey, okay, now that I'm in. We want to make a difference. We also want to make a living. So we talk about helping you move from paycheck to purpose. That's the goal. That's how Mondays have meaning. That's where we get away from this living for the weekend. And we move from just doing work to fully alive on purpose. And a person who's on purpose in their work, by the way, is going to be a better spouse, better parent, better friend, better sibling, better son, daughter, the whole nine yards. Because there's something about us, we all long to make a difference. And work isn't just this thing we do to get a paycheck. 844-747-2577 is the number, 844-747-2577. So I want to start off the show. The next 3 days, I'm going to teach the core methodology of the Ken Coleman Show, of everything that I do. And specifically, this is the content of stage one of the seven stages to work you love, to truly working on purpose. Stage one is get clear. Stage two is get qualified. Stage three, connected. Stage four, you get started. Stage five, you get promoted. Stage six, you get the dream job. Then you expand everything, the vision, and you got all the success and satisfaction that comes with stepping into the dream job. But now you're stage seven, which is truly working like no one else. That is giving yourself away. So when we discover who we are, we look at three gifts from our Creator: talent, what we do best, passion, work we love to do, and mission, results that we want to accomplish through our work. That's missional. Okay. Let's break down talent, because the way we even look at talent sometimes isn't through the right lens. Now, I don't need to spend a lot of time defining talent, but we'll do it quickly. And then I want to teach you how to look at your talent. So talent is defined as what you do best. Simply put, hard skills, soft skills. All right. So a hard skill, I'm very mechanical. I am good. A hard skill is I'm good at writing, speaking, coding, whatever. That's a tangible skill. Soft skills are basically people skills. So I'm patient. I am empathetic. I understand what people are. I'm compassionate. I'm great at connecting with others. That's a soft skill. So you think technical skills, and I don't mean technology, but just a technical skill that you can apply, and then a people skill. That's a good way of looking at what you do best. Character traits, we could also throw that into, I would call that a soft skill, but the character traits, those kind of things. So this is what you do best. So if I were to go around and interview everybody that you know, I would say, what do you do best? And they would say, well, you're really good at this. People compliment me on this. This has always come easy for me. So that is the definition of talent. But let's look at how we need to gauge or assess talent. So when I say things you do well, I want you to understand I'm talking like good or excellent. So let's break that down. All right? So let's say you list out all the things you do well. So you want to rank those on a scale of 1 to 10. All right? So you go, okay, well, ultimately, if things I do well, if one is suck and 10 is amazing, then I'm guessing what you would list as your top talents are things that are probably a 7, 8, 9, or a 10. All right? You're tracking with me on this. So let's look at the world of talent. There are, I believe, you know, a handful of universal talents that you could put every skill into. So if you rate yourself on this universal bank of talents, and if you are a 1, a 2, a 3, or a 4, remember, 1 being suck, 10 being amazing. If you're a 1, 2, 3, or 4, then I would call that kind of crappy. And if you are a 5 or 6, I'd say that's average. If you are a 7 or 8, I'd say that's good. And if you are a 9 or 10, I'd say that's great. Now, let's use the analogy of talent as tools. You must understand that your talent is a tool. So if you're doing gardening work, mechanical work, carpentry work, whatever, you have tools that you need to do the work. So when we look at talent, passion, mission, we say talent is what you do best, passion, work you love to do most, mission, results you want to create. So in order to do the work I love, I must have tools. Everybody understands that. So now let's go back to ranking things that you do. Do you want to use crappy tools? Joe's a mechanical guy. Joe, you want a crappy chainsaw?
Absolutely not.
Do you want an average chainsaw?
No.
How about a good chainsaw? Well, that will do.
Yeah.
But would it be really awesome if you had a great chainsaw?
Absolutely.
All right, so if you've got to go do work and you need tools for the work, let's just use common sense. We don't use crappy tools and we don't use average tools if we can keep from it. But we know if we use good tools or great tools, we got ourselves a great opportunity to do the work we need to do and do it well. Everybody understands that. So when we talk about the sweet spot and we talk about talent, the world says, wait a second, if you're a 1 through 4, you better work on that and make that better. Those are weak areas. You need to make those good areas. Okay, you know, let's break that down. If I am a 1, 2, or 3, or 4 and I work really, really hard to get better, I believe the most that you can grow is 2 spots. So if I'm a 4 and I bust my tail, I can become a 6. But wait a second, that's average. Anybody want a higher average? Do you want a higher average? Do you want to use an average tool in your journey? No, of course you don't. So don't work on things that are 1 through 4. Now, if you bust your butt on a 5 or 6, you can be obviously a 7 or 8. Now, it's a good tool that can perform well. So here's my point in teaching talent. The reason I teach talent is because you don't need to worry about things you're not talented on, because you're not going to use those tools. You shouldn't use those tools in the marketplace, in your job, in your career. Why would you? You wouldn't use them around the house. So that's why I don't teach non-talent. We teach talent. So that means good and great. 7s and 8s. 9s and 10s. That's talent. That's what we mean by use what you do best to do work you love. Don't try to get better at things you're weak at. Forget about them. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Are you feeling stuck and disengaged in your current job? If you're searching for a new job for any reason, the Get Hired live stream event on April the 27th is for you. At this event, you're going to learn how to get clear on what you do best, get qualified for the job you want, and get connected to job opportunities. No matter what your situation is, there is hope. Join me on Tuesday, April the 27th to take control of your career and start working toward what you were born to do. Text the word HIRED to 33789 to learn more. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you move from paycheck to purpose. Yes. You can figure out what you were created to do. You can get there. And you can do it while you're paying off debt. You can do it while you're stuck in a situation that you can't get out of. You can make progress all along the way. And I'm here to help you, part coach, part counselor, part cheerleader. I'm Ken. 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Let's go to the Atlanta, Georgia area where Christopher joins us. Christopher, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's going on?
So I recently just moved from Guatemala. I lived over there for about 14 years, and I've been struggling to find what I like or what's my purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when you say struggling with what? Do you have ideas that you're bouncing between?
I get into something that I like, or I find something, and I give it my all, but halfway, I just quit and stop doing it and look for something else.
Okay. Why do you think that you're quitting? Is this just a function of normal exploration because you don't have any big ideas, or are you getting bored? What's happening?
I fall into something and I really, really like it, and I want to know everything about it, but once I start getting there, I just look for something else.
Okay. So that, to me, when you say it that way, that sounds like somebody who needs a constant challenge, more so than maybe most. We all need to be challenged. We all need progress. But it sounds like, to me, there's a phase by which you jump into something and you're in love. And then almost out of nowhere, it goes from in love to I'm bored. Is that fair?
Yes.
All right. So now when that happens, that creates confusion for you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So let's get clear on that. You need to stop thinking about the why in the world you're getting bored and focus on what is it that you love so much. And then we start to realize, oh, I love this. Once this ceases to be in existence, then I'm immediately bored. So what is it that you love? What can you see as evidence or patterns from your work history that you go, oh, this is the part I love, and when this ceases to exist, then I'm bored?
I love new things. And once something newer comes out, I leave the old and go for the new.
Okay. And so what does that tell you about yourself? What does that tell you? Don't worry about how you say it. Just tell me what you're feeling. What does that tell you?
I'm not consistent, and I just I'm not as disciplined.
No, you went negative. I don't think that's no. You went negative. I wanted you to go positive. Take another shot at that, because you're assuming that that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing, and you've got to embrace it. And I'm trying to lead you into what it's telling you, but I want you to take one more shot. Go positive. What does that tell you about yourself? Give me a positive thing.
That I researching, and I like to stay up to date, which I guess is a good thing.
Yes, sir. It tells me that you are a learner, early adopter. You get excited about the new. That's what it tells me.
Yeah.
Now, that's a negative, is it, when I say it that way?
A little bit.
All right. Yeah, so here's the deal. You need to embrace that.
Yeah.
Do you think the world needs people like you, Christopher, to be those people who are not scared of change, who aren't intimidated by something new they got to learn? They actually go, yeah, let me at it.
Yeah, I do, and a lot of things.
Do you know anybody in your life that is the exact opposite of you? If they heard you talk about this, it'd make their stomach sick. They'd be like, oh gosh, I hate change. I hate new things.
Pretty much everyone I know.
Okay, so do you start to embrace now that this is actually a really good thing?
I actually do. I just don't know where to put it into play.
That's okay. I will get to that. I just needed you getting to the point where you're not thinking of yourself as this undisciplined, inconsistent person, and you need to start going, wait a second, this is how I'm wired. I'm passionate about research. I'm passionate about solving problems. I'm passionate about analyzing, right? Does that all sound right to you?
Yeah, it does.
All right, so let me ask you this. What would you do, Christopher, tomorrow if you knew you couldn't fail and the money was there and it was just something that you just could go after? What would you do? Because I think you've allowed yourself to imagine this, and you're not quite sure how to get there.
A couple of things come to mind. Is that fine?
Which
is not just one.
No, give them to me.
Sports, run a business, or videos, like video games.
So. How old are you, Christopher?
25.
You're 25. When you say sports, what do you mean? You mean sports marketing, sports business, be a professional athlete? What are you talking about?
I don't know exactly which one. I just grew up playing sports, but I stopped because we moved, and I was really good. I had a scholarship, but I stopped playing just because my friends didn't play at the sport I played, so I went with what they played.
Well, let's be realistic. Do you think you have what it takes to be a professional athlete at this stage in your life?
No.
All right, so let's take that off the list. Wait, you took me so literally. I don't mean like fantasy land. I mean realistically, what would you try tomorrow? And so run your own business was the second option. What was the third option?
The third option was video games.
Oh, video games. Yeah, is that another one of those things where like, hey, Ken, if I don't have to work, I'll play video games all day long. That didn't sound...
Not necessarily work, but like work in like video games, like developing and stuff like that.
Exactly. Now that seems to make some sense for me, based on what you've told me, because that requires that you're constantly developing a new game, iterating new things, keeping it up to date. You know, somebody is always updating these video games, because my kids dropped Fortnite like it was a bad habit about a year and a half ago, and then the other day I saw them playing it again, and I thought you guys said this was the worst game ever. They literally were like, this game sucks now, Dad. I'm like, oh, geez. Right? That's really what they said. Yeah. But then what? Somebody like you at Fortnite went, yeah, we're seeing this. Usage is down. We're seeing what people are saying. We better figure out something new. That fits for you, because the nature of that work is constantly adapting, constantly iterating, constantly researching, all those things. And that's what keeps you going.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a viable option. And then your business idea, your entrepreneurial idea, it's got to be the same kind of thing. You've got to start a business that in and of itself has a lot of change for you. It's an ongoing, evolving business, or at least the role that you create. Maybe the business itself doesn't, but you... As the CEO and founder, eventually you hire people to do certain parts that would bore you to death, but you're the one constantly iterating, constantly listening to the customer, constantly coming up. That's the pattern. And so I think there's a lot of types of work that you could do, but it's got to be driven by innovation. It's got to be driven by adaptation, problem solving, solution creating. That's the kind of jam for you. Am I right?
Yeah, you're correct.
All right, so here's the deal. Any job you take in the process of stepping into the dream job or eventually starting your business, you're going to have some discipline. Here's where discipline will come in and go, wait a second. I am bored, but I got to find a way to have a better attitude about this, because this is the job I got to keep crushing it in so that I can move up the ladder and have the ultimate dream job. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So stop quitting if it's on the ladder. If it's the next rung on the ladder and you're a bit bored, well, welcome to the real world. But if you stay with it, you'll keep moving up and you'll eventually step into that role where you never get bored. But you'll always have to evolve. Okay?
Yeah.
So I think you and I are on the same page now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. Listen, you got this. You just have to be disciplined when you need to be disciplined, have an attitude of gratitude when you need that, and then you need to have your eye on the prize. Because you need to be in a role like we described. And if you do that, you're going to be a happy camper. Not only that, you're going to be super effective. Because the world needs the Christophers, who are always looking ahead, tinkering, breaking things down, looking at new ways to come at it. That's how the world works. That's innovation. We need you, Christopher. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville, talking about your purpose in your life and work, how they are combined. You were created to work. In other words, you were created to contribute. You know that there's more to just showing up Monday through Friday and collecting a paycheck. You know you want to make a difference, and we want to help you combine your income and your impact. How do you take that purposeful personal vision and tie it to, connect it to your professional vision? Because they should be together. 844-747-2577. Hey, jobs, jobs, jobs. Good news. Jobs, jobs, jobs. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. They're increasing, and so it's going to be competitive, and money's going to be good. And so if you're starting out, coming out of college, or you're trying to move, you know, from some part-time jobs, maybe a couple just, I had to recover, Ken. I had to just get stable during the pandemic. Or you're looking to switch careers, or you're looking to move up. Our Get Hired event will help you. There's so much good content. It's coming to you April the 27th, live from our Ramsey Solutions studios. We'll have about 200 people live, and then we'll live stream it. Tickets start at just $20 for the live stream, and then there's multiple packages. If you just go to RamseySolutions.com/events, RamseySolutions.com/events, tickets are just $20. For those of you who want to come to the live event, we still have some seats available. It's going to be a lot of fun here. It's going to be safe. It's going to be fun. And if you're within driving distance of Nashville, that may be a fun option for you. April the 27th, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. 7 Central, 8 Eastern. You can watch it wherever you've got an internet signal. We're going to live stream it to you. RamseySolutions.com/events will cover the three stages that we start with on the seven stages to work you love. Get clear, get qualified, get connected. So maybe a great gift for somebody who just needs some, who needs an edge, needs a push, needs some advantage. Check it out. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Orange County, California. Aziz joins us there. Aziz, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. Pleasure talking to you. How are you today?
I am living the dream, sir. What's going on?
Not much. I mean, as you just mentioned a couple seconds ago, jobs, 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 they're popping out of everywhere. And yeah, the same goes for healthcare. So since the we're kind of making that transition in healthcare from pandemic to the post-pandemic era, a lot of folks, especially in leadership, took early retirement, and it created this really large job opportunities across the, not just in California, but also nearby states.
Wow.
And I've been very fortunate that by following your resumes, guidelines, literally every job application that I submit, probably 24 hours later, I get a call from a recruiter wanting to interview. And some of them are actually in the third and fourth interview process.
Great.
which is amazing. So my question to you is, I'm very grateful to my current employer for giving me the opportunity and opening the doors for me to step into the leadership role. And I wish they had better opportunities for me to advance in my current role. But since that seems to be not the case for the near future, I'll probably have to seek elsewhere if I'm going to advance professionally.
Sure.
So since I kind of feel that little gratitude to them, I wasn't sure if I should make them aware that I'm looking elsewhere for potential advancements, because it's very hard to replace positions, especially at our levels. And it usually takes about a few months to find a good candidate. And I'm worried that, you know, without giving a proper notice, it could potentially put my coworkers and a little bit of a difficult situation, and also my employer may kind of having a hard time finding my replacement. So, but
sure,
I can see the pros and cons of it. You know, one that, you know, hopefully it will give let them more time to find a suitable candidate. On the other hand, I might potentially hinder my chances of leaving, or perhaps face some difficulty. So I wasn't sure. I wanted to see your
take on. Yeah, it's very simple. Very simple. You do not need to let them know you're looking. You only let them know when you're leaving. Let me say it again for everybody else, because we get this call a lot. You do not need to let them know you're looking. You only let them know when you're leaving. And depending on what you get, if you feel that deep sense of gratitude like you do, and you want to try to ease that transition, that would be between you and the new company that's offered you a position. You could say, hey, when do you want me to start? Here's where I'm at. I love this old company. I love my leader. I'm so grateful to him. And I would love to ease the transition as much as possible. But at the same time, I'm grateful to take the position with you. I'm in. But how much flexibility do you have? because I want to really ease the transition. Boy, that's an honorable thing to say. And they're only going to admire you even more, like you even more. But you don't owe that your current company, if you leave them, you don't owe them to fix all of the issues that come with you leaving. I mean, that's just a part of the deal. You won't be the only person that's ever left them. I'm sure they got some procedures in place and they would be able to handle it. But again, based on the new company, if they're open to giving you more than 2 weeks, to start, and so you would give 4 weeks notice or 6 weeks, depending on what it is, I wouldn't make it a sticking point and I wouldn't try to make it a negotiation. I'd just say, are you open to this? Because I want to leave as well as possible, given my position, all this. That's a nice touch. That's class, man. And you're just a classy dude. You just are. Anybody that calls with this question is just... it's just class dripping off of you. So love your heart. But no, you do not tell them because of all the cons that you already listed. It just, you don't need to tell them.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I'm proud
and
of
do I have time to pick your brain on one more topic?
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes. Let's see what we do here.
Okay, sure. My second question is, if that opportunity means for me to move to a different area, which I'm perfectly fine with it, but if it comes with a quite a bit of a pay cut, would that be still wise to do so or no?
Well, the only way it's wise to take a pay cut, using your language, the only way it's wise is if, A, you can afford the cut, meaning it's not going to throw you financially into a tailspin or make things really, really tight. And B, it is a strategic move that puts you on the ladder that will allow you, or high, high percentage chance that you will be able to accelerate or move up quicker. So that's the only time it's wise, when it is a no-brainer. I've got to go backwards to be able to go forward. And I can absorb the cut. If it doesn't fall in those two, no, it's not wise.
Gotcha. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. You have an amazing team, and I love your radio show.
Thank you.
We'll be a long-term listener for many years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Aziz. You're going to do great things, man. And I would stay with it. I wouldn't take the first thing. You don't need to take the first thing. You said yourself, Aziz, that the healthcare is exploding. And so I would hold out. I think I know what your answer is that taking a pay cut right now is not a good move. Hold out. The right thing is coming. I promise you. And here's what's interesting. This is hard for all of us. Sorry, I hit the mic. It always freaks Joe out. I got to apologize to Joe. You just would love to see this guy behind the glass when that happens. We got a mic that's extended here on a boom, and sometimes I'm moving my hands and I hit it. And you would think he's got a cattle prod shoved up under his arm. All right. Here's the human condition. We know we want to make progress. We know we want to move. And so when we start getting offers, that feels like progress because, oh, okay, I'm seeing momentum. The other thing that happens is we feel good about ourselves. Someone wants me. That's really nice. But then if it's a pay cut, we can almost talk ourselves into that sometimes and go, whoa, don't do that. And I get why we do it. I'm sensing some momentum. I feel good about myself because someone wants me. So it feels, it actually is confusing for those reasons because you're going, well, these two things are nice feelings, but then I got a yucky feeling because it's going to be less money. So you got to say, wait a second, I got to be smart here. Just because it's some momentum and just because I feel good doesn't mean I'm going to make a bad financial decision. So this is where we got to be grown-ups. And we got to trust the process. We got to believe in ourselves. We got to go, well, that's not a good move. If I can't do this financially, the answer is, unfortunately, no. But don't believe the lie that that's the only opportunity. So I'm forced to make a bad financial decision just for the hope of the future I want. That's a false narrative and a false choice. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you get clear so that you can confidently step forward to do what you were born to do. It's that that clarity and confidence, that's what leads to courage. When life throws the curves, the pitfalls, the potholes, rather, everything that life will do. And when you get clarity and you can retreat back to that clarity, and then you get the confidence, you know you're supposed to do this, then that's when courage appears. And that's what we hand out every day on the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken, so thrilled to have you. Let's go to Houston, Texas, where Dusty joins us. Dusty, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
So I've been working for this camp ministry for the past 5 years, and in some ways, I am in what you would say my sweet spot. I'm getting to do things like life coaching, young college students and high school students in life, especially when they're at camp during the summer. And so that part I do love, and I do love that part of the job. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, there's always been, since I've been here for 5 years, there's been poor communication and expectation management from our leadership staff above me and full-time staff. But then also, the summers are so long. We're working about 100 hours a week, and I feel like I'm burning out. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if I'm supposed to just, because I do like parts of the job. I really do. And I love the people. It's like a family at this place. Sure. I don't know if I need to suck it up or move on and try to find something that's more my sweet
You need to
spot.
Move on.
Recently.
You need to move on.
All right.
So you're not burned out either. You're tired and you're frustrated. That's it. So
yes,
it's okay to be tired and frustrated, but I'm trying to really help people with this burnout thing. Burnout means all these different things, and then people treat it like it's a source. It's not. It's a symptom. And so you're tired physically, and you're frustrated with leadership for a variety of things, and you feel like there's no fixing that, and you're also frustrated with the lack of advancement and opportunities for you to continue to grow and lead and expand that vision. So that becomes frustration that's emotional. So you take emotional and mental frustration, and that means I'm emotionally tired and I'm also physically tired with these really long summers where it's just nonstop. I mean, you just want to lay down and go to sleep. So,
yes.
Yeah. Did you hear that emotion in you?
Oh, man.
It's like I reached inside your chest and touched you with a tuning fork, man. Like, you're just exhausted. Yeah. And so here's the thing. The way I define this is you're doing the right thing or some of the right things in the wrong place. It's time to move on. You love working with young people. You want to influence young people. You want to lead young people. You know what your ministry mission is. There's no confusion there. And you're just kind of going, should I leave? Should I leave? Should I leave? Should I leave? Now, anytime someone calls me for ministry, I don't have a God complex, don't want a God complex, so I'm not going to tell you what to do. But it feels like to me it's pretty obvious, because I think you and I agree that God is not a God of confusion. Would you agree with that statement?
Correct.
What are all the signs telling you? Stay or go?
To go.
Yeah. But see,
maybe
to go what? It's to go, but
do it the right way.
Well, of course, we're not going to blow the bridge up.
Yeah. Right.
Here's how I want you leaving. I want you leaving with a full heart and a clear conscience. I'm grateful for this season. It's prepared me. God has used it to prepare me for the next. And now there's a new land to take. Mm-hmm. And so I'm leaving with a full heart of gratitude and a clear conscience because I left the right way. I wasn't a jerk. I didn't throw anybody under the bus. I just said, I'm being called somewhere else.
Right. Well, now, here's a follow-up question, if I can.
Sure.
I recently, and in the past year, because last year was rough for everybody, but in the last year, I finished getting my financial coaching master's training certificate.
Great.
From Ramsey, and I'm amped up about that. Like, because it's coaching people, it's working with people individually, and helping them with their money, which is also their life. And so I am amped up about that. but I don't know. I've heard you say this before. You don't want to just jump into that unless I've built up the right amount of prospects and I guess cash flow.
Yeah.
I don't want to just jump the ship.
No.
I guess my question is, how do I do that properly? Like other, I need to look into the field of financial. The financial industry, I guess.
No. Okay, you know, you call our folks back here at Ramsey because not only do they train you, they actually coach you on how to grow your business. And so if you haven't signed up for that, sign up for that. That's going to be a good investment. You ask them those questions. They've got answers to that. I've got an answer, but my answer is a little bit higher up the ladder. But the simple answer is you've got to get out there and, you know, shake the tree. And the more clients you have, you coach, you build your coaching business, people stay with you, they refer you. You got to be aggressive. You got to have a system for how you do that. But the answer is you don't go full-time financial coaching until you can. And you're going to at least get it to a point where I've saved up enough money to where I've got 6 months of my income. So it gives me 6 months to go all in. Or I've got 3 months saved up. Plus, I'm bringing in enough on financial coaching where I wouldn't have to dip into that at all. And so now I give myself at least a chance to grow the business by going full time. I would talk to those folks. They are world-class at coaching coaches to build their business, not just teaching you how to be a coach. So, I would engage with them fully on that, and they've got a program to where you stay with them, and I don't know the details. You call them up. You've already talked to them, but I'm fine with that. If what you've done in this youth camp, and if you see yourself at its core as being a coach, then sure, go for it.
Yeah,
coaching young people or coaching people with the finances. The bottom line is this. As I've told you, there's more than one dream job. You've heard me say that on the air. So let's look at the sweet spot.
Yes.
Let's go back and get clarity so that you can have confidence. So you know, Dusty, what you're good at. You know your top talents, hard skills and soft skills. You also know the kind of work you love to do. Just what little bit I've pulled from you, you're a guy who loves advising. You love that form of advising / counseling. You love leading people. You love solving people problems. You love teaching. So we know we love that work. So, okay, boom, that's good. And then we go to, what are the missional results? For you, you're all about influence. You're all about achievement when you see, hey, I want to see the lives I've been able to impact. There's nothing wrong with that. Or maybe you're about service. And ultimately, as long as my work is generating or producing service in ministry or service, just serving people and influencing people in how I serve them, then that's in your sweet spot. So you could move from ministry to financial coaching. I mean, it's the same thing.
Wow, that's so good to hear.
You see how that opens it up for you? So there's a lot of freedom there.
Oh, yeah.
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 All right.
That's awesome.
Hey, man, listen, do not, under any circumstance, let the voice of fear and doubt after this phone call come in there and go, man, you can't do anything outside of ministry. That's not being faithful to the call, or that's not this, or that's not, or you've only done ministry, so you can't do financial coaching. Don't let the voices of fear and doubt jump on your shoulder and hang out. You hear me? Because they will try.
I'm all in.
All right, brother. Yeah, so you get back to, do I have the talent to do it? If it's yes, then you say, do I love this kind of work? If it's yes, and then we go, is it creating a result that I want to put into this world that I believe I was created to do? And if the answer is yes, we got ourselves a big ding, 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 move forward. And don't let the voices of fear and doubt knock you off the path. Folks, that's why we teach that. The talent, passion, mission. It allows you to retreat to clarity. When you're clear, you become confident. And that confidence will arise when we need it most. Those moments of courage. All right, folks, my time is almost up. But before I let you go, I want you to know that you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey, y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.
Subscribe to The Christy Wright Show wherever you listen to podcasts.